Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Road Show. I am Karen Jensen Salisbury, your host for today, and thanks for tuning in. I hope you're ready for a great road show today because our special guest is Reverend Keith Moore. Brother Moore, welcome to The Road Show, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Karen. Glad to be a part.
Listeners, I know most of you are familiar with Brother Moore. He has a radio program right here on the Oasis, Moore Life Now. It airs on all the Oasis stations. To find out where it airs in your area, visit our website, oasisnetwork.org, for air times. And since most of us are familiar with you, Brother Keith, I just kind of wanted you to give a little bit of background about your life and ministry so that we could get to know you better.
Yeah, glad to. Well, we just in a few days, we'll celebrate our 40th year in the ministry.
Wow.
And it's been so wonderful, so good. I was born in Mississippi in the central part, out in the country, rural area, and had a good life, and it was a good childhood. My brother and I and all my friends out in the country, I say sometimes jokingly that when I was a little boy, I thought I was Tarzan. I watched a bunch of those shows. And we had a bunch of, there were a bunch of woods that connected our property. And man, we swam in the creeks and climbed the trees and swung on the vines. And we had a good time.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. But I thought that, when I was 10 years old, my dad put me in a school of martial arts. And that became a big part of my life. And I thought I would be a sport fighter. There's a style of karate that I was in. And that was my focus and my pursuit. Mm. And Phyllis, my wife and I, we got married young. And the doctor that she worked for right after we got married had a library of teaching tapes. We had never heard of such a thing in our community. And he just kept insisting that she take some of these tapes home with her for us to listen to. Well, being her employer, she didn't want to offend him. And so just out of courtesy, she took home some of Brother Kenneth Hagin's tapes, teaching tapes on cassette. And we sat down and listened to them on our little battery-operated tape player. And it struck something in us that we had never had happen before, and we became those that love the Word, and we'd just come home after every day and sit down and listen to some more of those tapes and search out the Scriptures, and it changed our lives forever. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm so glad that eventually that we... the Lord prompted us to attend a camp meeting. And so we did. And while we were there, we took the tour of the Rhema campus. And while we were, I remember the spot we were standing in, and one of the buildings, the Lord spoke to us that we were to come to Rhema. And man, that was a huge step for us.
Yeah, I bet.
Took all the faith we had, like it does most everybody that goes.
And, right.
We thought we'd go 1 year and go back home to our community and our church, serving our little local church there. But 1 year turned into 20. And we had the privilege of serving there and working in the healing school and prayer school and being involved in the training center and eventually being involved in the on the crusade team. And it was one of the greatest privileges of our life, the association with the Hagins and with Raymond is a big part of what we are and our ministry today.
Yeah, same with me. I can totally, I always ask myself, where would I be if I hadn't gone that direction, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, and so eventually, though, you left that area and went into your own ministry.
Yeah, we did. We had traveled all during that time, itinerant ministry for those 20 years in addition to that, but we're prompted of the Lord to go to Branson, and we didn't know why, didn't know anybody there, but one thing led to another, and just in a miraculous way, the Lord helped us to get a property there, and we started a church there, and it was an amazing thing, still is, that our first Sunday service, with hardly any advertising or anything, we had some 500 people show up.
Wow.
And it was a real, I mean, we were expecting good results, but
that was over and above.
It really was. We were just kind of overwhelmed. And I asked the people, I said, why did you guys come to Rhema? Why did you come to start a church here? And it seemed like half the crowd answered me back.
Wow.
They said, we know, we've been praying.
Oh.
And I thought, well, there it is. That's what happened, is a bunch of believers there wanted, you know, a certain kind of work they were looking for, and the Lord answered their prayer, sent us there.
He is faithful, and now you have more than one church. You have two.
Right. 10 years later, we had been impressed to start another work in a different part of the country, and we looked a number of places and finally got settled that we're supposed to do it in Sarasota, Florida. And it's kind of funny because when I was at Rhema, you know, we'd talk to the students, and half the people there felt called to Florida, you know.
Where the sun shines all the time.
Doesn't get cold in the winter. And it was kind of a joke that, yeah, sure, you know,
sure.
Everybody's called to Florida.
Or Hawaii, right?
Yeah, right, right. But then, thankfully, the Lord confirmed it for us, and we had another wonderful, similar kind of a launch. Just amazing things happened with the Lord working out the property situation, and then people showing up and wanted to serve and wanted to be a part. And so we've got a great work in Sarasota now as well.
You know, and I've heard you talk about these things before, Brother Moore, and it seems like you really cast the whole care of it onto God and hear from Him.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing. You can't have any success without faith.
Right.
Faith is the only way to please God. It's the only way to overcome. But you can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing. And you can't just take something off the top of your head and say, well, I'm going to go do this. And you didn't hear from the Lord, and you don't have direction about it, because He's not obligated to support and confirm everything we come up with.
Right.
It's His word, His direction. And so, yeah, the bigger part is to wait on Him and seek Him and get from Him. And I know something that the further we've gone, the more we see it. You don't want to fill in the blanks. Like, for instance, when we came and started the work in Florida, there were multiple properties that were available, and one of them was a much larger property for much less money. And it would have looked like the choice, the way to go. But we had a witness about another property in a different place that wasn't as big and was more money. And so after, you know, getting settled on it, and they even said the property that we were wanting was already sold. And anyway, it took several things for it to wind up in our possession, but it did. And after we got in there, we found out that that other area, the local authorities and what have you, would not have been church friendly.
Ah.
There could have been a number of issues that we would have had no way of knowing. And what I'm saying is that we're seeing, you know, we could have been right in saying the Lord directed us to start a church in the area, but we could have been off by 10 miles.
Yeah.
And had issues. And sometimes I think people do that. They got part of it right, but then they filled in the blank. And the later on, they're saying, well, you know, if it was right for me to come do this, why am I having these issues? Well, you're not supposed to just get the first part of the direction. We need to hear from him every day,
yeah.
Every step of every part. The scripture said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so it is a... Yes, we live by faith, we walk by faith, but you can't separate successfully faith from being led by the Spirit, because faith comes from hearing from him. And so when you wait on him, seek him, and get from him his word, his direction, then when you in faith step out to do that, you don't have to plead with him to bless it or prosper it or
right.
provide for it. It was his idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep seeking him the whole time.
The whole time. And don't fill in any blanks. Just once you know what to do, you also need to hear from him about where and when and with whom and how. And every day is a new day.
Yeah.
We must check in with him, and we need to be continually checking in our hearts, in our spirit, about the witness from him and direction from him. Phyllis, my wife and I, we often talk about it. You know, every day you got a thousand decisions to make.
Right.
And the only way to get things right is to be led by the Spirit, because there's just so much we don't know.
Yeah.
For instance, the future, you know.
Which is 5 minutes from now and
exactly.
forward.
Uh-huh. So no matter how much research you do, how smart you think you are, what you think you know,
yeah,
you're never going to know enough just in your own knowledge to make correct decisions. We need help.
We
need help that's bigger than us, and thank God we have help, the Holy Spirit.
He's so willing to help us.
He's always there. He's always ready, but you got to listen to him.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I've got this, I'll take care of it. You got to check in with him.
Yeah, that is so good. Listeners, we are talking today with Reverend Keith Moore. When we come back, we're going to talk about his book, Victory Over Death. We're going to take a little break, but stay with us.
I'm David Warren, here with some exciting news for Oasis listeners. We have a new mobile device app. It's free, easy to download, and lets you enjoy our refreshing music and talk everywhere you go. If you have an Android cell phone, go to the Google Play Store. And if you have an iPhone or iPad, visit the Apple Store and search for Oasis Radio Network. Be an Oasis ambassador and share this news with family and friends around the world.
Oasis Roadshow.
It's a great day on the road show. I'm Karen Jensen Salisbury, your host for today, and we are delighted to have as our guest Reverend Keith Moore. He filled us in last segment a little bit about his life and ministry, but in 2020, Brother Keith, you wrote a book called Victory Over Death. Tell us why you wrote this book.
The revelation of it came as a result of my father's home going. the Lord had already been dealing with me about some of those things. But when my dad went home, he went home early. He was only 68. And the circumstances he went home in, I wasn't pleased with. And but the Lord ministered to me in a spectacular way 3 weeks after he went home. And we taught a series in our churches then for weeks based on the scripture in Corinthians that, you know, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory.
Yes.
Through our Lord. And that whole chapter, that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the victory he's talking about is victory over death. He talks about the resurrection. He talks about being changed from mortal to immortal, corruptible to incorruptible. And so it's one of the biggest things in our current existence. Hebrews says that Jesus became a partaker of flesh and blood so that he, through death, would destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who, through the fear of death, all their lifetime were subject to bondage. The fear of death is just omnipresent. It's everywhere. It's, yeah, it's interweaved in everything down here in this mortal existence. And if you don't get free from the fear of death, you will be limited in so many different ways. People talk about phobias, fear of this, fear of that. People say, well, I have a fear of flying. No. You have a fear of crashing and dying.
Right.
And people say, well, I have a fear of the water. No, you got a fear of drowning,
yeah,
and dying. It comes back to death. And apart from being a Christian and having revelation of life after death and of the reality of that we're spirit beings, not just a body, apart from that, you can't get free from the fear of death. It'll be something that's just kind of stalking you your whole life. And people will, they'll be limited in some form or fashion. It's, some things are obvious that people get to the point where they won't leave their house or their apartment.
Yeah.
And they are literally self-imprisoned. And the thing that's doing that to them is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. And whether you're talking about a mild dread or full-blown panic, a panic attack, it's the same evil stuff. It's fear.
Yeah.
And as a believer, fear is contraband for the believer. We're not supposed to have it. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But just saying that, or just saying, I don't want to be afraid, is not enough. You'll still be limited, restricted by fear unless you get the revelation and light and you walk in it that Jesus has overcome death. And that we don't have to fear death and what death is, that death is not cessation of existence. Death is not the end. Death is a transition. You know, Paul talked about this in Philippians and in other places. He talked about desiring to depart and be with Christ. And a time of departure was at hand. Well, we use that terminology flying on airplanes.
Yeah.
And births and deaths are arrivals and departures.
Right.
And if you could back off from the planet and see They tell us there are some 160,000 or so departures across the planet every day.
Wow.
Of people dying and leaving here. Mm-hmm. About two every second.
Man.
And so while we're having this conversation, you know,
two more.
And this is the way of all the earth. And yet, you'll see people just act utterly shocked when someone dies.
Yeah. And
act like it's the most horrible thing that's ever happened and something that they can't recover and get over from. And you know something that we need to not say, and that is, I can't live without so-and-so.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't live without mama. I couldn't live without my spouse. I can't live without my kids or whatever the case might be, because if you live long enough, you're going to go to some funerals.
Yep.
If you live a long time, you're going to outlive other people. And sure, you know, you'll if they're a big part of your life, it'll be a transition without them, a giant change. But if the Lord has enough of your heart and your being, then you have Him.
Yes.
And you're never alone. People say, well, I live alone. Not if you're a Christian.
Right.
It needs to be more real.
Yeah.
That He is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Your angel is there. No, you're not alone. And when people, I changed something some years ago, talking about people dying, you won't hear me say, I lost someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't lose them. They just relocated.
You know right where they are.
I do. And I don't refer to them in the past tense. You know, because people sometimes are correcting themselves and say, you know, well, my mom, you know, was a great person. Well, she still is.
Yeah.
And heaven is just as real as Tulsa or Sarasota, or just much nicer.
Much. Hallelujah.
It's real. It's not imaginary. It's not fantasy. And these things need to be much more real to us. And the scripture tells us in Psalms, it said, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. It's foolish and it's clueless to act like you're going to live down here forever.
Right.
And keep doing what you're doing, that you're going to go to the grocery store and cut the grass and do the laundry and go to your job. No. If the Lord tarries His coming, even if you live to be 100 plus, that's nothing. It comes and goes. The Bible said it's a vapor.
Yeah.
It's a mist. And so everybody needs to be ready to go right now, today, because we've seen, you know, with all this COVID stuff the last couple of years.
Right.
And I mean, all of the storms and crime and this earth is a very unstable, curse-filled, dark, death-filled, dangerous place. Only walking close with the Lord and with His protection are you kept and sustained to have a long life. But everybody needs to receive the Lord, and you need to be ready to go today,
Yeah. Now.
And if you are, and you realize what death is, death is the spirit leaving the body. And one person, you know, we've taught healing for a number of years. And one person said one time, said, well, if you never got sick, how would you ever die? Well,
I've heard that.
It's not really that complicated. If The Bible calls our body our tabernacle. And even in the book of Daniel and other places, there are words that refer to it almost as a sheath, like a sword has a sheath, or it's like a hand in a glove. Well, if you pull your hand out of the glove, you won't have to stab that glove or shoot it or anything to keep it from moving.
Right.
It has no life in it
right.
apart from the hand. And when your spirit leaves your body, you don't have to put cancer on it or do some kind of damage to it. It has no life
mm-hmm.
apart from the spirit. When the spirit leaves the body, James talks about this, the body's dead without the spirit. And so as a believer, the scripture says that Jesus tasted death for every man. And that's an awesome, awesome
yes.
word. Brother Hagin used to say that the Lord tarries his coming. You'll go through the gates of death, but you don't have to go through the jaws of death. And I think what he was referring to by that, you can die without any agony. You don't have to die with some violence or some evil disease, and you don't have to be racked with pain for months and be delirious with drugs. And it doesn't have to be that kind of experience. We see in the Old Testament, an elder, a patriarch, knew it was time to go, called his children in, prophesied over them, prayed over them,
right.
then said his spirit left his body. There's a right way to go. The scripture said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his.
Yes.
There's a right way to go, and there's a wrong way to go. There is a right season to go, and there's a wrong season to go. You can leave early, you can leave wrong. But if we'll follow the Lord and listen to him with long life, he'll satisfy us, show us his salvation, how he can save. And there'll come a point where we know, the Lord lets us know, we have run our race. We have finished our course. And we can come home to be with him. And we can go when the Lord and us get good and ready for us to go, not before then. We don't have to die with one of the devil's stinking diseases or with some accident or violence. We can go the right time and way. And when you do, you slip out of your body and you're free from the limitations of the curse and all that stuff. And you'll probably look back on your body. Many times I think people look back if it's in a hospital room or
yeah.
or even somewhere else, and they see other people around them. And it may take you a moment to realize that you're what they call dead, because you never will really die. It was just your body. And you'll probably look at your body and go, wow, didn't know I looked that old. And then all at once you'll realize, man, I feel good.
Yeah.
You've got no restrictions, no tiredness, no pain, no limitations. You can, and then you look up and there's your angel. And he says, are you ready to go? And the bigger part of your life begins.
Yes.
This life is the shortest thing. This is the briefest thing we will ever do.
Yes.
But I'm elaborating on, we don't have to be afraid to die. It's one of the greatest liberations to get free from the fear of death. This won't happen just because you go to church or because you read a chapter or two here and there. You have to receive this revelation, and it has to become real to you that Jesus really did taste death for you, so that when you die, if the Lord tarries his coming, you live out your life, you leave your body, it won't be this scary, scary, horrifying, terrifying thing. It is actually, you depart and go to be with Christ, which is far better than being here.
Yes.
And in fact, I think it's one reason that we're not told too much about heaven, because it would really make you want to leave today.
Today, yes, amen. Listeners, we're talking to Reverend Keith Moore today about his book, Victory Over Death. Brother Keith, how can we get a copy of this book?
Well, if you're in town, around any of the churches, at any service or any time, you can come in and get a copy. There's no charge. Online, you can go to morelife.org, and you can download it, or you can you can access it no charge.
Yeah, everything in your bookstore and on your website is free, right? The word supply.
It is. The Lord has enabled us to do that. So, yeah, no charge.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So, listeners, that's morelife.org, M-O-O-R-E, life.org. Let's take a break right now. Don't touch your dial. We'll be back with more Reverend Keith Moore.
The Road Show is a listener favorite, which airs each weekday here on the Oasis Radio Network starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central. The Road Show also has a great section on our website, oasisnetwork.org. There you'll find audio archives of select past interviews, plus guest lineup and contact information, and links to our roadshow sponsors and its host. So join us for the roadshow, whether on your radio, computer, or mobile device, at oasisnetwork.org.
Welcome back to The Road Show. I'm your host, Karen Jensen Salisbury. Our very special guest today is Reverend Keith Moore, and we're talking about his book, Victory Over Death. Let me read you a little bit of the chapter names. Chapter one is To Die is Gain. Chapter two is Never Die. And chapter three, Brother Moore, I thought was really interesting. It's called I Couldn't Tell. Talk to us about that.
My dad and I had a wonderful relationship growing up. He just, one of the greatest things he ever did for me was listen to me. As a boy, he and I would sit under our big giant oak tree that we had there in Mississippi on the farm, and sometimes he'd just sit there and listen to me talk for 45 minutes and treat me like I had something to say. And I'm sure some of the stuff I said, you know, was dumb and immature, but, you know, he's a man. He made mistakes, but man, what a great dad he was to me. And we had this always a wonderful relationship, and he and Mom were going to go with me on a meeting that we were doing, and we were flying actually across the Gulf of Mexico, and he had a heart attack during the flight, and by the time we got on the ground, he had passed on.
Wow.
And he was only 68, and it bothered me, because I know that we can have longer life than that, and that's not God's highest and best. And it bothered me that, you know, somehow we missed it and came short of that. And so, and of course, there were some things that I just getting to where I could do a couple of things financially for my parents, and there were some things I had wanted to do for him, so for about 2 or 3 weeks after his passing, I was troubled, and I cried and was seeking the Lord about some things, and it really bothered me. And at one point during that, two things that came out of it. The Lord said, I kept talking about to myself, you know, well, I wanted to do this and wanted to do that. And the Lord interrupted me. And when I say that, I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me real distinctly, he said, well, Keith, who says you won't get to do that with your dad?
Ah.
And then all at once it came to me that, you know, some things that I wanted to do with Dad in this life, later on, I wouldn't care about. But other things I would still want to do and would still get to do. He said, Keith, your dad's not just in your past. He's in your future.
Glory. Praise
and
God.
That helped me.
Yeah.
And then, but like I said, I was grieving some and sorrowing. And the Bible tells us, you know, we're not to sorrow like those who have no hope.
Right.
And the Lord asked me a question, and it wasn't what I expected during that time. He said, Keith, you're being unthankful. And I thought, wow, I wasn't thinking about that at all. He said, do you realize how many boys on the earth never had a dad?
Yeah.
Much less a good one. He said, do you know how many hours you had with your dad? And I realized, well, I'm not being thankful. And I stopped and I apologized. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, you had, and I actually got my calculator out. I looked at how many hours I had with one of the best dads. He said, did you not realize that at some point he's going to go on?
Right.
You know? And then we talked about that previously, you know, about people acting like you're going to live down here forever. It's
right.
Foolish. And so that helped me some. But then about 3 weeks after he had gone home, early one morning, I had an experience. The Lord caught me up and allowed me to go see him. I didn't expect it, and it was different than anything I had imagined, but it did something in me and changed me that to this day, after the experience, I had zero grief or sorrow. I mean, I looked for it.
And it wasn't there.
There was and to this day, and that was back in 2005, to this day, I don't have any tiny amount of grief in me or sorrow in me about my dad.
Praise God.
And it was... It's some things are hard to put into words, but I left where I was at home there, and I don't think my body left, but like the scripture says in that chapter you referred to, whether in the body or out of the body, it seemed the same to me. I couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up in this place. I know it's part of heaven. I didn't see the Father. I didn't see the throne. I didn't see the Master, which, of course, I, like every believer, I long to. I want to, but I didn't. But it was this big, I don't know, kind of a thoroughfare, broad path where people would be traversing, but it was like there was activity all around, and it was a... It reminded me of a mall, like a shopping mall, but it wasn't a mall, and I have no reason to think they were selling or buying anything there. That's not it. It just reminded me of the layout of a big, giant mall, because mm-hmm. just like there are different shops in all the places, there were different activities going on. There were different things happening all around. And so when I came up, into this place, somehow I knew my dad was there, and I knew kind of which direction to go to look for him. And so I did. And eventually I saw him, and I ran to meet him. We hugged, a big embrace.
Yeah.
And it's just astounding to see someone whose body you buried a few weeks ago.
I bet.
It's just, It's astounding. And we actually walked hugged up together the whole time. It was just so wonderful, you know, to see them. Because they're not gone. They're not lost.
Right.
They didn't end. They just relocated.
Yeah.
And so he looked amazing. I'd never seen him look that young.
Yeah.
He's my dad. Of course, he was a certain age by the time I was old enough. And when he went home to be with the Lord, he had lost most of his hair. And what hair he had was white. But when I saw him, he had a full head of raven black hair. I mean, it was like that almost blue black,
wow,
like Elvis hair. And he looked amazing. I mean, I don't know, what, 25, 30-ish looking? And I just thought, wow, he's doing good. You know, when believers go home, if you're crying and feeling sorry, you're not feeling sorry for them.
Right.
They're doing a lot better than you are. But all he wanted to talk about was the ministry.
Hmm.
That was it. We, you know, afterwards you think of, you know, 50 things that you might say or bring up or ask. But
sure.
We talked about nothing but ministry. The ministry of the churches, ministry of the outreaches, and that's all we were interested in there. And that's all we talked about. And so we walked along this big path. And one interesting thing had happened. There were several people that knew us there.
Huh.
And they'd say hi and call our names. The only thing I could figure is that, you know, later on after I thought about it some, is that perhaps what the scripture says, what the Lord does, it's forever. And the Lord joins people together in this life. And it's part of his plan that was existed before we were born. And I wouldn't be surprised if those joinings last beyond this life.
Ah.
And so that would explain to me then why there were a number of people there that knew us, because we had connections down here. But one funny thing is there were these two men over in one area that were doing something. I don't know what they were doing, but they popped up. And one of them yelled and said, "Hey, hey, it's Brother Keith. It's Brother Keith." And I said, "Hi, hi." And I walked over to my dad and I walked over to where they were. And they started quoting things I had said,
wow,
preaching.
Wow.
One of them said, "What's the answer to 1,001 questions?" And the other guy spoke up, and then they both said, "Be led."
Be led. A famous Keith Moore-ism.
And they quoted about four or five of those, and then they'd laugh every time they'd say it. And then they looked at me and said, "Man, that helped me when I was on the air. That helped me." And they thanked me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, praise God. But you know, things like that that the Lord gives you that helps people, that didn't just come from you.
Oh, for sure.
Or it wouldn't have that kind of impact. Especially, it wouldn't last like that.
Yeah.
But if it came from him and came through a vessel, well, then how long is that going to last? If it came from him, it'll last beyond this life.
Yeah.
It would continue.
Praise God. Well, listeners, we're talking today with Reverend Keith Moore about his book, Victory Over Death. You can find out more about his ministry, about the book, how to get it, all of his products, which are free, on his website, morelife.org. That's M-O-O-R-E, life.org. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to ask him some other special questions about his book, Don't Touch Your Dial.
I'm David Warren, Program Director at Oasis Radio Network and one of the hosts of this podcast. All of our hosts enjoy hearing from you, our listening family, so drop us a note. Our email address is roadshow@oasisnetwork.org. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and you'll receive new episodes on your mobile devices. And now, back to the show.
Thanks for joining us today on The Roadshow. I'm Karen Jensen Salisbury, your host, and we've been talking with Reverend Keith Moore about his book, Victory Over Death. And Brother Moore, in Chapter 5, it's called, Is Everyone Going to Heaven? And you tell about an experience with your grandmother. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my grandmother was a strong believer, of course still is. And when her mother-in-law, my grandfather's mother, passed on, she had an experience similar to what I described that I had. She was caught up, and she saw her mother-in-law. Said she looked beautiful and had on this robe, and but her mother-in-law asked her about my grandfather, which was her son that she said, has Quentin changed his way of living since mother has come here? And my grandmother said, she shook her head and said, no, Miss Nettie, that was her name. I'm sorry to say, no, he hasn't changed. And she said, well, you tell him and you tell all my children that they have even more stock in heaven since mother is here. And if they want to see me again, they'll need to change. And so she came back from that experience with a directive to go to them, and she gathered them and told them and talked to them about it. And it was, I think, almost 40 years later, but he finally did give his heart to the Lord.
Oh, good.
Before he went home, he waited a long time. But
wow.
Thankfully, I'm expecting that we'll see him again.
Praise
and
God.
Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he talked about the same kind of thing, that he had an experience where he saw his sister after she had died. And she did the same thing. She told him that people there were not interested in natural things, like if you got a new car, got a house. She said she saw one of their relatives, and she didn't want to tell her that her former husband had been remarried since she had passed on.
Ah.
But then she realized they're not interested in such things.
Yeah,
they're not interested in all the natural things, but they are interested, and they do know about some of the spiritual things.
Hmm.
And he referred to Hebrews 12, that great cloud of witnesses,
right,
and how they are observing our race. And she asked Brother Hagin to talk to her son. And then she also asked about her other brother talking to another of her sons that were not serving the Lord. And the amazing thing is that she told him, she said, you let him know that when he gives his heart to the Lord, I'll know it.
Hmm.
And the other one, when he comes back to the Lord, I'll know it. Well, you know, the Bible said that there's joy in the presence of the angels.
Yeah.
Over one sinner that repents. So heaven and those that are there, angels and people too, obviously are aware of significant spiritual things. And so when loved ones get saved, when loved ones come back to the Lord, when they answer the call of God, when they begin to fulfill their divine missions and calls, our loved ones that have already gone over, they know some of these things. They are made aware of some of these things, and they rejoice with us as we run our race. And that is that's a wonderful thing to think from time to time.
Yes.
That people are cheering us on. Sometimes I've thought I can almost hear Paul the Apostle saying to me, Keith, if I had had the internet and an airplane,
right.
Boy, get to it. Go.
We have no excuse.
We have so many resources compared to what they had.
Yes.
But heaven is real.
Yes.
And the people that are there, they're the same people that we knew here. And they're not just in our past, our loved ones and friends. They're in our future. If you're a believer.
Right.
I think sometimes you hear people, you know, everybody that dies, then at their funeral, they talk like they went to be with the Lord. But that's just not the case if you didn't receive the Lord. If you rejected him, I mean, there's, and it's not that God is sending people to hell. He's not. But if you don't want him, and you don't want Jesus, you don't want salvation, there's only one other group,
mm-hmm.
and there's only one other place to go. And it's not God's choice, it's their choice. So that's one of the biggest things going on is the directive, the Great Commission, is to go into all the world and tell everybody the good news that Jesus has already paid the price. But he won't receive it for you. Grace has taken care of everything. All the sins have been paid for. Redemption has been completed. But that doesn't mean everybody will be saved. You
right.
have to receive it. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. You have to confess Jesus as your Lord. And do you think it'd be all right if we prayed with everybody
yes.
right now about
Let's
that?
Let's do it right now.
If you're listening and you've never given your heart to the Lord, earth is dangerous. Life is uncertain. You must not say, well, maybe one day, maybe one day. You may not have that one day that you're talking about. You could leave here today or tomorrow. You need to be ready to go right now.
Yes.
And not everyone who dies goes to heaven. Those who have rejected the Lord don't go to heaven. They don't go up. They go down. So please, friend, right now, don't wait another minute. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Pray this prayer. Mean business with God. And the scripture says you do this, you will be saved. Say it out loud. Father God.
Father God.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in your son, Jesus.
I believe in your son, Jesus.
That he went to the cross.
That he went to the cross.
He died for my sins.
He died for my sins.
He paid the full price.
He paid the full price.
And you raised him from the dead.
And you raised him from the dead.
He's alive right now.
He's alive right now.
King of kings.
King of kings.
Lord of lords.
Lord of lords.
Soon to come again.
Soon to come again.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you.
I receive you.
And all you have done.
And all you have done.
To save me.
To save me.
I confess you.
I confess you.
As the Lord of my life.
As the Lord of my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For saving me.
For saving me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Brother Moore, thank you so much Hallelujah. For being with us on the Roadshow today. Listeners, remember, you can always listen to Brother Moore's radio program right here on the Oasis, More Life Now. Check your local stations for airtimes. And thank you for being with us today. I had a great time.
My pleasure. Yeah.
Listeners, remember, you can find out more about Brother Moore's ministry and receive all of his materials free at the Word Supply. That's at morelife.org, M-O-O-R-E, life.org. Thanks for being with us today. On behalf of the Oasis Network, this is Karen Jensen-Salisbury with my special guest, Keith Moore, saying thanks for listening. It's been another great roadshow.
You've been listening to The Roadshow. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address, The Roadshow, P.O. Box 1924, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. Our email address is roadshow@oasisnetwork.org. The views of today's guest aren't necessarily those of this station, but we do appreciate and thank our guest for spending this time with us. The Roadshow, an Oasis Network presentation.